Oh, is this too much for you?
No, it's fascinating.
Hello, everybody. Everybody! This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 13, Hopeless! And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Some say I'm the greatest actor of my generation.
Hi, Dave!
Hello, everybody!
Hi, Tara.
Hi.
Hi, listeners. Before we get into this episode, which is either hopeless or fascinating, you be the judge. Here's a word about what we're doing on the Patreon. Coming up, again with this, 256 that drops September 19th. Let's watch Marcia Cross in Booker. Season 1, Episode 3, Raising with a Z, Arizola. Boo. Anyway, this is the 21 Jump Street spinoff with Richard Grieco as an insurance investigator.
That was a surprise.
I know. Can Marcia Cross save this? You should join us and find out. And you can do that at againwiththispodcast.com/club. As noted, we have more than 250 other episodes for you to enjoy. So you should. And then everybody gets stickers.
Yeah, ooh, please do. Let's start here with our B plot. Could a bunch of elementary school kids help matchmake Jack and Toby?
Yes. Wait, no.
You're kind of right.
I'm looking forward to finding out.
Yes and no. Jack gets back from a run to see Toby waiting outside his house for him and immediately doing a shitty job of being nice like Jen told him to. Clip two.
I should have known you're the type that jogs.
What type is that exactly?
The country club family type. You probably play a mean game of tennis, right?
Golf, actually. Toby, what are you doing here?
I've come to proposition you. Relax. Merely a turn of phrase.
What's that?
Would you have said he was more of a golfer or a tennis player? I would have thought tennis, too.
I would have thought golf.
All right. Well, you were right, even though we've never seen him do it. Not even Minnie so far.
No.
Toby gets more nervous the further he gets from moderately hostile banter, but he volunteers as a reading tutor in Boston, and Jen said Jack was good with kids. Jack doesn't want a repeat of his soccer team experience, but Toby says everyone at the organization knows he's gay and it's fine. Jack puts him off again, but Toby still says they meet at a junior high weekend nights in case Jack changes his mind, which seems like an inconvenient time for less well-off parents to be schlepping kids around versus an after-school program.
Mm-hmm.
They could just study at their own school and give their parents a break on babysitting arrangements, but no one asked me about this entirely fictional tutoring program, so let's move on.
Yeah.
Then we're in Boston by night at a very corny establishing shot of a downtown school covered in graffiti. In case you weren't sure what kind of kids you were about to meet, you get a hint. Inside, Toby's being adorable with a little girl in her book when he notices Jack in the doorway. Toby comes over to greet him, and clip three.
Well, well. Look who's slumming, little Jack Sprat.
Hey, let's not call it that when we're in a disadvantaged neighborhood, maybe, dude.
Yeah. Also, you invited him. Also, little Jack Sprat?
Yeah.
It's the only Jack reference you
Seriously?
Could... Oh, God. I mean, I feel like they would say, like, well, you know, Toby's being awkward. Like, this is just awkward writing. It's not character.
No. Jack banters back that he didn't come for Toby's attitude, and Toby says that with sass like that, Jack really might be a member of the tribe after all. Jack asks what they do, and after a brief moment of looking dismayed that Jack doesn't want to flirt more, Toby says he just hangs out with the kids while they read and helps if they have trouble sounding out a word. Mostly, he should just be nice to them. Jack says he can do that, and Toby says he knows. That's why Toby asked him. And later we see how correct Toby's instincts were. Jack is working with a kid named Will, who is frustrated by how boring the available books are. Jack gets it, but since Will needs to have something prepared for school, Jack suggests that Will write his own story instead, but only use words he can spell. Will dictates and then gets stuck on the spelling of beam, so Jack gives him the dictionary and has him look it up, and in the background, Toby beams proudly, and it's cute. And I did something like this a few years ago with an organization called Young Storytellers, where we spent a semester helping kids learn how to write plays. And at the end, they had a show and local actors came and performed them, little like 3 or 4 page plays. It was really fun. We'll link to the organization in the show notes because they are national, I believe. So you can see if there are local opportunities for you to volunteer when the new school season starts. It was very rewarding and really fun. Afterward, Will is buzzing as his mom comes to pick him up, and Toby comments that he's never seen Will excited to come back before. Jack says he just had to find something that interested him, and Jack feels great too. Toby asks Jack out for coffee with some of his friends. Jack reflexively begs off, but Toby promises not to keep him out too late, and Jack tentatively accepts. And what I thought was going to happen would be Toby going to the coffee place and being all, oh, rats, my friends, canceled. But it's the other thing. The friends are a couple, and Jack can tell immediately somehow, pulling Toby aside to hiss that he's starting to think this is more than just coffee. Clip 4.
Actually, I'd really like it if it were.
Tutoring thing. Start that because of me?
It's possible that maybe part of the reason. Well, a big part. I thought it was something that we could do together.
So everything you said about being friends, it's just a setup to be with me.
No, Jen said that if I wanted to get to know you, I should try to be your friend. So I'm trying. That's all.
Friends. Yeah, that's fine. But I want to make something clear that there's not going to be anything more, ever.
Why not?
Oh, why not? I'm so vulnerable. Poor Toby.
Well, but also, if he started the entire tutoring program to try to ensnare Jack, that's fucked up. And there shouldn't be anything between them because that's too much.
Oh, I don't think he started the program. I think he just started volunteering.
Oh, okay. That was not clear.
That wasn't, dialogue. You're right. That would be insane if he had. But I don't think that's what we're supposed to think has happened.
I hope not.
Jack says they just fundamentally don't click. He knows it doesn't help to say, but he does wish they had something, which, like, if you wish it, you're halfway there. Like, spend 20 more minutes together and you'll find out what else you have in common. You could do it over coffee in the shop you are standing in,
yeah, perhaps. Yeah, that's what dates are. Try to do one.
Yeah. Toby absorbs the gentle rejection silently before they have a polite fight about which of them is going to stop tutoring to save the experience for the other until Jack decides they can both manage to remain in the program and takes off before things get even more awkward. That's where we leave it for now. On to the A plot. Bad group hangs break out all over the Cape. Even Graham's and Mr. Brooks's one-on-one date has kind of a weird ending. Gail catches Gretchen on the phone at the bar, which is unlucky for Gretchen because Gail was already on her way over to tell her to speed up the drink orders, and now quit fucking around can be added to her list of corrections. Dawson, who has gotten a haircut, getting it closer to its season 3 length, I'm going to say unwelcomely. There's a lot of photos in the visual aids. You can decide how you feel about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as bad as season 3. They're not trying to make him a light blonde anymore. And they're not trying as hard to like bear claw it over his forehead anymore. But I understand they felt he needed a trim. It was getting a little split endsy, but it's also like, just let him have long, semi-shapeless hair, as literally was the style at the time. This is not helpful, in my opinion.
If I had to guess, my guess would be he got frustrated that he couldn't like tuck it because he does futz with it a lot on camera.
True.
But I think it just needed to get longer, not shorter, or get products that are going to keep it in place better. So it's not always flopping around tendrillessly.
Or more hats.
Like
we said last time, more hats.
Anyway, Dawson comes up as Gail is leaving with the case of wine. Gail was annoyed Gretchen didn't already get, which, like, you know what? Get a bar back. Like, can't do two things at once. Gretchen asks if Gail has been testy with people other than her lately, and Dawson says it's Gail's hormones. Gretchen then checks that the issue isn't their new relationship, and when Dawson says Gail loves Gretchen, she says Gail may only love Gretchen in contexts other than the older lady who may soon deflower Gail's son. I'm paraphrasing. Dawson says a 3-year age gap doesn't make Gretchen Mrs. Robinson. Somehow, Gretchen requires Dawson to reassure her again, specifically that the two of them are solid. And when he says they are, she suggests progressing to the next level, which is not fucking. It's him coming out with her friends. by the way. This is like, I guess their second date after their first one was terrible surprise party for my brother. Like, are you ever going to see him alone? Because it seems like not really.
Yeah.
Regardless, Dawson is instantly nervous and it doesn't help when he hears Gretchen plans for this to happen tomorrow. She tells Dawson to be himself. Her friends will love him. And then they're about to kiss into the opening credits when Gail appears next to them with like, what did I just say? Look.
Yeah.
Which, if you got time to smooch, you got time to hooch, because it's a
there it is.
There's something. Or mm-hmm. nothing. Two episodes ago, the dining room at the yacht club was closed for seasonal renovations, but it is now open again. And don't say it's because the show skipped a season, even though it makes sense for you to guess that, given the people standing outside in just windbreakers. But it is, in fact, still January. When Joey joins them, Mrs. Valentine has just finished giving Drew an instruction he doesn't want to carry out, and he has just finished calling her a Disney villainess. Joey, whose bangs are finally under control, looks curious about what's happening, but just alerts Mrs. Valentine that she is there. Mrs. Valentine asks if she's getting ready to ask about an upcoming senior trip Joey would need a Friday and Saturday off for. Joey tries to sidle out so they can discuss it when Mrs. Valentine is feeling more generous, but apparently this is the time. Drew is about to go out with Hannah Evans, whose father is the president of the yacht club board, on Mrs. Valentine's orders. But Mrs. Valentine will trade the ski trip nights for Joey and Pacey doubling with Drew and Anna and making sure Anna has a good time. And if Anna doesn't have a good time, Joey not only won't get to go on the ski trip, she will also work weekends for the rest of the year. And I, by the way, love when teenagers' bosses are this dictatorial. Like, they'd forget a kid can just be like, you know what? I quit. I'll find another shitty job. But we wouldn't have an episode if Joey did that. And her look of defeat is gorgeous. You can see it in the visual aids. It's like the wanest no eyes smile you ever saw.
Well, and could someone point out that if you really want to ensure that Anna has a good time, Mr. Ferret incident is probably not the play. Like, not that we have all the information at this point, but still. Uh-huh. Also, once she shows up, the woman is 28.
Oh, my God.
Better make her own decisions.
She really is, though. So over to Mr. Brooks's place, where he is sitting in a wheelchair as he backseat edits Dawson's documentary. Grams brings in a tray of pills and notices she forgot one, her voice sounding exhausted as she goes back to the kitchen. Mr. Brooks tells Dawson he hates having Grams bring him to the drugstore. And when Dawson readily agrees to help, Mr. Brooks pulls out a paper covered in lawyer talk for Dawson to sign, which he obviously doesn't read. But I guess it doesn't matter because Dawson is 17. Like, I don't think he can sign a legal document like this without something. Like, I don't think.
Yeah,
he can...
like a blue back document.
Yeah.
Like in Law and Order, I think you at least need a witness or a notary.
Yes.
Never mind being not able to vote and shit.
But yeah, he doesn't read it. Trust Mr. Brooks when he says it just makes Dawson his gopher because Dawson is so flattered to be asked, I believe. Mr. Brooks quickly hides the paperwork when Grams returns, and then Dawson leaves and we see Mr. Brooks pretend to take his pills, but then when Grams' back is turned, shove the cup in his pocket. Grams reports that the nursing agency told her they didn't get a check for next month, and he blames the post office. At the Junior Witter's house, Gretchen comes through in a midriff-bearing top and, of course, low-rise corduroy jeans, alarming Pacey into lecturing her daddishly that she's only in half an outfit. Clip 5.
And what are you still doing here anyway?
Well, I was just getting mentally prepared for yet another night of being the perfect boyfriend. It's a thankless job. Long hours, very few rewards. Not that I'm in it for the rewards, of course.
No, of course not. True love waits.
And waits and waits.
There's something up?
No.
Because if something were up...
But nothing's up.
Well, if something were up and you wanted to talk about it...
Then I would. I absolutely would. But I'm not going to because guess what's up?
Something.
Nothing.
Oh, you are so saved by the horn.
Have fun working the boulevard.
There literally were no other pants.
There weren't.
Okay. A 3-inch rise was the best you could do. As somebody whose torso was like 75% of her total height, it was really a dark time.
Yeah.
Shut up, boys.
Yeah. The low-rise jeans with a one-tooth zipper is not just a line in a Girls 5 Eva song. It was real.
Yeah.
Good parting line to get your head kicked off with some clunky lug-soled boots, which were also the style at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say Pacey's hair is starting to look better. It's grown out a little bit. He's got like little sort of tendrils. It's kind of cute.
Yeah. Or like a little doing above the ear on each side. It's, yeah, I don't hate it.
It's good. On the walk to the meet, Pacey makes sure we all know he isn't looking forward to this. And Joey makes sure we haven't forgotten the stakes. She reminds Pacey that even though Anna's probably going to be a privileged bitch, Pacey has to be nice. And they are at least kissing each other's mouths, not their foreheads, for a change, when Anna pulls up and clip six.
I don't understand why people are always honking their horns. Like, I don't know, they're behind me.
Gee, could it be because you're camped out in the middle of the intersection, rethinking your eye makeup?
Well, it could have been smudged. Is it smudged?
Relax. Potter here knows about as much about makeup as I do. Besides, no one's had quite the heart to tell her the natural look went out before she was born.
Oh, poor me. Don't listen to him. The natural look is so in. I totally read about it in the New Allure. You must be Joey. Nice to meet you, Anna.
Hi. You're not Joey. I'm Joey. It's nice to meet you, Anna.
Pacey guy, Joey girl. I told you 1,000 times in the car.
Who's Potter?
Right. So much for the play chit-chat. Let's get this disaster on the road. Let me get that for you.
That's Pacey opening the driver's door for Anna. By the way, Parade of Dead Magazines continues. Allure's last print issue, published in 2022. We miss it. Lives on the internet.
Oh, God. Really is a theme this week. A dark motif.
True. Joey gives Pacey a look like she didn't think he knew how to do that, meaning chivalrously open the car door, and he grins back that he is just being nice. It's working on me. But yeah, he's being so nice. He's like, sure, I'll be Joey for tonight. Like, there's agreeable, right? And then there's self-abnegation. Like, find the line.
But also, he just did this for her like 2-3 episodes ago, right? Like that college meet for Worthington or Winchester or whatever the fuck the college is called. Like, it's been established that he gives good, rich influence.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we have to start from one with this part of it. Nothing about this date is necessary or believable, but we get the contrivances we deserve, I guess.
Back to editing the doc. Mr. Brooks seems to be breathing with difficulty as he watches himself, but we don't know if it's from emotion or his health. Dawson says that section is pretty much done, but Mr. Brooks says that at 93 minutes, the whole thing is done. Honestly, could cut back a little more, probably, just saying. Mm-hmm. Dawson holds up a finger in the background to disagree. You can see this in the visual aids, too, but Mr. Brooks tells him to lock it. Dawson decides to drop it and wheels Mr. Brooks into the living room. Mr. Brooks reminds him that he wants to know about Dawson's girl. Dawson reminds him that Mr. Brooks once called Gretchen the local ditz, which he claims was said with affection. Dawson says she's great and they're taking it easy. Mr. Brooks says he shouldn't take it too easy. Dawson's still young enough to fall in and out of love a few times. And as Dawson turns on the radio playing the middle of What a Wonderful World, he says that doesn't sound like much fun. Mr. Brooks says it is, and then it isn't, then it is. It's always worth it. Dawson comments that Mr. Brooks is in a prophetic mood and he gallows humors that pancreatic cancer will do that. And as usual, Dawson seizes up at Mr. Brooks's frankness about his medical condition and then says he has to go. Mr. Brooks asks for help getting into his armchair. And when he has his arms around Dawson to stabilize himself, he squeezes hard and we see him getting tearful over Dawson's shoulder. Damn it, show! It's so sweet.
Oh, I know.
Dawson seems like he knows that Mr. Brooks is having a moment, but Mr. Brooks pulls himself together and says, clip seven.
Fiction's not half bad. Not just because it's about me either.
We should make another one sometime.
Anytime, kid. Anytime.
I think to myself, what a wonderful
world. How do you end it before that last note? Who edited this? Crazy.
Maybe they thought that we couldn't take anymore. And in my case, they were not wrong.
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, sweet. The delivery of Anytime Kid, I was like, oh my God, Presnell.
I know.
And oh my God, Dawson being written so that we actually think he deserves this.
Yeah.
Okay, show.
Then Gretchen is showing up at the Leary house with her former college suite mates, Jessica, played by some woman, and Kira, played by Rachel True from The Craft. Pleasantries are exchanged, including Jessica's compliments on the house. Is it a rental? Yes, he rents this house. He's 17. He lives in it. A three bedroom. Dawson's cheerfully saying it's his parents' house when Gail's pregnant ass comes downstairs. There's some chit-chat about when the show starts and that Dawson will just see Gail in the morning before Gail decides now's the time to humiliate her child about his plans. Clip 8.
Wait a second, Dawson. I'm not sure I like the idea of you going to a club. I mean, do they serve alcohol there?
You serve alcohol in the restaurant. It doesn't seem to bother you when I'm there, so why should this be a problem?
Well, you're my son and I worry about you, that's why. And since when do you go clubbing?
We're not dropping in on Studio 54. We're having dinner and seeing a band.
Still, I would feel better if I at least knew that you were going to be home at a certain time, say, by 1.
That sounds like a curfew, which I've never had before in my life. Can I just meet you guys outside? Yeah. Second? Okay. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll see you in the car.
Okay. If you're trying to embarrass me, consider it a job. Very well done. I'm completely humiliated.
I am trying to protect you.
From what? The dangers of having a good time with my girlfriend? Come on.
No, the dangers of getting hurt by a woman whom, as perfect a person as she seems right now, might actually be in a different place in her life.
Mom, Ooh. It's not like that with Gretchen.
Honey, I'm not so sure.
Well, I am. You know what? It really doesn't matter what you think because it's my life and it's my relationship. If you want to express a little last-minute maternal control, you're going to have to wait for the next one to come along because I really don't want that from you anymore.
Okay. I guess I see his point. She should have been like, I need to see you in the kitchen.
Yes.
Like, about that part of it. But, like, I really don't need this from you anymore. Like, okay, says you, but you're still a minor.
Yeah. And you do still live in her house, like having been on the receiving end of the, oh, suddenly you have a curfew now that you're seeing someone end of this exchange. It is kind of suspect timing that it's like all of a sudden when something might happen, it's like, get back at 1 or whatever. We do get a nice shot of Gretchen like dissociating as Dawson and Gail are going back and forth while she's still in the space. The exchange was missing a reaction shot from the friends, though, who may not have already known Gretchen was dating a diaper baby. Like, I assume they didn't if they were asking if it was his house.
I could see her low toning that because based on the overcompensating we're about to hear, she was not forthcoming with that.
Yeah. But back to Gail, Gretchen has her own house and car. Like, don't piss him off so much. He finally decides to get her pregnant despite you. Because he could.
Also, like the time to not take snotty shit like that from him was when he was like 12.
Yeah.
And now he's going to Brandon and you're going to have to live with it. Like announcing that I did not need my mother's counsel and then trying to leave the house on an outing she didn't want me to go on, I would have been hammered head down into the lawn with a croquet mallet at best.
Then the double date has arrived at mini golf. Anna is being annoying about taking her shot on a windmill hole while Drew openly disdains her. Joey tells Anna to take as much time as she needs, and Pacey runs up to the windmill to hold it still and advise her on putting. And if you can't have fun at an activity without cheating, do something else. Disgusting. As Drew continues bitching to Joey that this is taking forever and he has a date later with someone he actually wants to see, Joey takes his phone away and orders him to be nice. Drew accuses her of wanting him to be more like Pacey, which a note most people could take, in my opinion, including Joey herself and probably me.
Yeah.
So Drew decides to needle Joey by implying that Pacey is flirting with Anna just before Anna makes her shot and runs into Pacey's arms to celebrate. Joey gives Drew what he wants by acting like she really believes there's the tiniest chance anything is going to happen between Pacey and Anna, like just facially, but still, girl, come on.
Also, I mean, I understand that you don't have a full episode's plot if this happens, but it does seem like Joey could just take Anna aside and tell her of the deal and try to back each other's play. That's what I would do in this situation, but what do I know?
Right. In the car, Dawson lets everyone treat him like one of the girls as Kira tells a moderately detailed story of a kitchen counter sexcapade. And then all three ladies sing along to a song on the radio some corny guy used to play them in the dorms. Dawson, it could be worse. They could be talking now about how your mom embarrassed you, but they apparently managed to get it all out while you were inside yelling at her because they have class, and I admire that in them. Back to the fun center, Anna very seriously tells Joey how the myth that not everyone can wear red lipstick harms girls with yellowy skin tones when the guys join them. Clip 9.
We're just discussing the beauty industry and how it manipulates and contorts our perception of ourselves in service of a capitalist economy.
See, we've been missing Pacey in an intellectual conversation. Hey, perhaps Anna here can grace us with her opinion on that whole electoral college controversy.
Drew, play. No, it's okay. I think people should be allowed to go to whatever college they want to. I mean, as long as their parents can afford it, what's the big deal?
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the marveling idiotic mental feats of Anna Evans. Warning, do not try this at home. Worth more than 2 brain cells.
You're such a jerk.
You're the one who ordered your daddy to arrange this whole night for you. You happy now? You see, unlike your nose job, I can't be bought.
Such a dumb joke. And in 2001, everyone knew about the Electoral College, even dumb people.
Yeah, come on.
But that'll just about do it for Pacey. Clip 10.
Okay. With that happy little anecdote, I think this sick and twisted evening is now over.
That's sweet, isn't it? The way he always rises to the defenses of damsels in distress. Especially the blonder ones.
Are we in agreement here that punching him in the face is now completely into the appropriate zone?
Before you do, answer me one question, Witter. Guy to guy, okay? How come beautiful girls, who are dumb as a box of rocks, will only put it out if you tell them they're smart? Or the ones who actually are smart will only perform sexual favors if you tell them they're beautiful?
This is all my fault. No, it's not. Nothing is your fault. Yes, it is. Oh, I can't believe I was so stupid. I feel like such an idiot. Oh, I can't believe I slept with you.
When?
Yeah. Also, I can.
Yes.
This is how it is at that age. You're like, oh, well, once we do it, maybe he'll change.
Joey reels and Pacey admits he didn't see that one coming, as it were. Drew clearly isn't capable of shame, really, but he does look slightly sheepish as she takes off. When Gretchen Parks, improbably close to the club, of course, because it's TV, she asks how Dawson's doing. And in a matter of fact, not at all pouty way, he says that between that scene with Gail and Kira's sex tales, he's never felt more 17. Gretchen jokes that she had no idea he was and rhetorically asks what she's doing with him, and then adds that she and her friends are just catching up and that part of the night will be over soon. When they get to the door guy, he checks Gretchen's ID and makes sure they have a designated driver. Like, did Gail call ahead? Is that a thing door guys do? Don't they just assume you're going to look after yourself?
Like, I've never experienced that, especially not in a city.
Mm-hmm. Dawson volunteers that he won't be drinking. And when the door guy asks his age, Dawson tells the truth and gets a huge red under 21 stamp on the back of his hand while Kira and Jess smirk. Edging towards self-pity only a little, he shows Gretchen and says this encapsulates his existence right now. And Gretchen looks like that's just hitting her in this moment somehow. Then Pacey finds Anna on the mini golf range looking wistful. He makes sure she's not crying about that moron Drew. And Anna sardonically says that if Drew's a moron, wouldn't that make them perfect for each other? A little witty for someone we're supposed to think is dumb. But Pacey tries to help. Clip 11.
You know how some people are good at books? I'm not at all good with books. People like you and I, we have to figure out what our thing is and then become good at it.
You gotta be real careful with the whole people like us thing, especially when what you're saying is people like us who are not intellectuals, because we know she's dumb, but she may not totally know.
Yeah.
She could have been being self-deprecating before and think she's smart. But Anna knows what she's good at, men. And I assume she means that literally due to her advanced age, as Sarah said. She's old. She looks like Misha Barton now. They go on. Clip 12.
Well, I suppose it's a good thing that you've already figured that out. Well, there has to be something else that you're good at.
Not really. It's always been the easiest thing for me. But with Drew, I wanted him to like me for more than the way I look.
I don't know that he doesn't.
Yeah, but now we'll never know. I blew it.
Probably.
I fell into bed too easily. If I hadn't, do you think he might have liked me?
I can't answer that. But I can answer you this. I have only just met you, Anna, and I can already tell that there are a lot of nice things about you, besides the way that you look.
And if Drew Valentine can't see that, well, that's his loss, not yours.
Oh, God. Gross.
Well, yeah, but what's he supposed to do? Very diplomatic. Good job.
Of course. But the real issue is this bimbo is from One Tree Hill. Like, Dawson's doesn't usually let its female characters be this pathetic.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, let's reframe it so that we're not sort of letting go the idea unchallenged. Like, it's because I fucked him too soon. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Was it fun at least? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then chalk it up.
Yeah.
Move on.
Which is basically Pacey's attitude later. He just doesn't say it to her in the scene. Back at the club, it's time for more girl talk. Jessica's winding up a story about a guy she dated who was keeping an apartment for his other chippy, which brings Jessica's loser count to 7, passing Gretchen's. Kira rejoins them and says she's still the leader with 9. Dawson decides to ask a question he'd probably really rather not know the answer to. Clip 13.
You guys keep a running count of all the losers you've dated?
Well, only the ones we've slept with.
Yeah, if we included the ones we'd also dated, we'd be in the triple digits by now. But don't worry, Dawson. You're way too nice of a guy to ever end up on my loser list.
Oh, wait, how often have I heard that before? Look, for all of Gretchen's strong points, she's not the best judge of men. But I'm sure that doesn't include you. You seem nice.
Why does everybody keep saying that? I'm not really that nice.
Well, Dawson, I think she just means you're not the kind of a guy who would take me to a concert, meet another girl in line, then dump me, leaving me to find my own ride back to school.
That actually happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
Loser number 2.
Well, he's probably no number 6 either. Okay, you know what? Let's not do this. I'm really not drunk enough to sit here and go through the entire list of my life's most embarrassing choices.
I think Gretchen should have shut down this line of inquiry by now, because the only way Kira and Jessica would be this forthcoming about past guys in front of Dawson is they assume they don't have to take him seriously because they're never going to see him again.
Yeah.
But Gretchen doesn't shut it down. So Jessica brings up Lucky, a leprechaun Gretchen got tattooed on her hip to impress a loser who was in a band. Gretchen says it's a reminder never to date a musician again, no matter how hot or sexy he may be, and then adds, clip 14.
But that's why I'm so happy to have Dawson.
Mary Beth Mazio.
You know, at least I know he won't shred my heart.
Oh, Gretchen got a puppy. That's nice. Good for her.
Yeah, like it's just so, so performative. And
yep.
That's why I'm so glad I have Dawson. Ugh, exhausting. Like if I were him, I'd be like, who are you right now?
Yeah. Then it's time for Mary Beth Maziarz as herself, clip 15.
I've been watching my life play like it's a movie, and I'm feeling kind of lonely, but I've been burned before.
I think future Tar director Todd Field put it best when he played Frank in Walking and Talking, clip 16.
Do we really have to listen to this vagina music all the way there?
Yes.
And what will they be thinking as they're driving home? Just so... Oh, guys, go watch that. It's
go
so good.
Watch it. It's so good. I'm looking up to see if it's streaming anywhere. I've seen it so many times. I love it so much.
Really,
a perfect movie.
Will explain a lot of asides that Tara and I make that seem to make no sense, but like this is how it's like just kept curling and spraying. Yeah.
Guys, it's on Hoopla. So if you have a library card, sign up for Hoopla, watch
yes.
Walking and Talking.
Oh my God.
It's very important.
Hello, cookies.
But to answer Frank's question, no, in this case, that's enough of Mary Beth Maziarz and her vagina music.
Sure
as,
is.
As the song goes on moistly, Dawson looks like he's not totally cool with where he has ended up, actually. And then we return to the fun center. Drew's in the middle of hitting on some other girl, while Anna is still on site, just not in the building, when Joey leans over to him to say they have to talk about the baby, he needs to marry her, and Drew's prospect takes off. He mildly bitches at Joey, who doesn't know how he can be so shitty to Anna. She thinks Drew is just as desperate to be loved as he is to resist real intimacy, but if he doesn't knock it off, he's going to end up alone for real. And Drew actually gets vulnerable. Clip 17.
I'm not really good with girls. I'm actually incredibly bad with them.
How come?
Well, I guess,
Spending my formative years in all boys' institutions? Pretty much all I know how to do is pick on women or sleep with them. I was never around them much longer to get good at doing anything else.
You're doing something else right now. I mean, being honest and being real. You should work on that.
They look kind of cute together, don't they? They kind of have that warm, wondrous glow of two people who've had sex. Not with each other, of course, separately. You get my drift. Oh, whoops, I forgot. That's a subject you know absolutely nothing about.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
You're so predictable. Like, yep. She just finished saying she can read you like a book. Like, stop making it so easy for her. But before it can flare into another fight, the other two join them, Anna talking about Pacey's sailing summer and saying her dad could use someone like him. He's always trying to get her out on the boat with him, but she is not interested. Pacey says Anna just hasn't done it with the right person as Joey takes his hand and kisses it, and Drew and Anna look on enviously. And after the show at the club, the girls aren't ready for the night to end and agree they need fries and black and tans from their favorite spot, Dex's. Dawson says he probably can't get in. Jessica says they never used a card and probably still don't, but Dawson reminds them about his scarlet hand stamp. Gretchen is visibly torn about what she should do until Dawson tells her she should stay out. He'll just get a cab. And Gretchen accepts so quickly that he sort of is like, oh, okay. But she says they've all been drinking. So they'll take a cab and he can take the car. And as she hands over the keys, she wraps her arms around his neck and burbles that she has the best boyfriend and then kisses him and takes off. And Dawson realizes he might actually be nice like they think. It's rough.
Yeah, I can't believe it, but poor guy.
I know. It actually gets worse for me too. We'll get there. Then the double date couples are parting by the water where they met up. Anna apologizes for that left turn from the right lane, and Drew gives her cover by pretending the lanes aren't well marked on that part of the street. By the way, the week that I prepped this episode, I saw two accidents right in front of me happen in Austin from people doing that, turning left from the right lane.
Why?
Texas drivers are allergic to using their signals, but that wouldn't have helped in this case. That's a separate issue.
Well, there's a whole, like, swinging out. You notice this when there's a lot of two-lane blacktop in your life, like there was for me this past week, and people swinging out to the right to turn left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
Is it your first day? Trevor? Brutal.
When Joey and Pacey have wandered away, clip 18.
If you ever want to go out again sometime, you don't have to get my mother to coerce me, you know.
I won't. I promise.
And thanks for letting me off the hook about not calling. Most girls would consider that completely unforgivable.
Well, I don't, but I'm easy.
It's cute. Way sort of make fun of yourself.
Cute, likable, or cute, annoying dits?
Oh, likable. Definitely.
The question makes it annoying. Like, go back to a different show. I don't like you.
Yeah, this is just, like, why? Mm-hmm. What are we doing here? Treading water, I feel.
Anyway, they kiss. I was expecting that as soon as Joey and Pacey were gone, these two would hatch a plan to break them up for themselves, like Dawson and the Fear of Flying girl from season one that we never saw again. Mary Beth, I think was her name. Mm-hmm. But alas, that does not happen. Back at Mr. Brooks's, he and Grams are playing Scrabble by the fire. She notices that he's drifting, and when he admits he's tired, she says they can stop for the night. But first, clip 19.
I'm glad that Leary kid stole my boat.
Oh, we've met before. Barbara Seibert's brought you to the church bazaar, and you purchased two of my apple pies after complaining bitterly that they were highly overpriced.
They're peach and worth every penny.
A compliment. 10 years late, but nice to have all the same.
Stop. You're so cute.
Oh.
When she takes the board to a bureau, she sees a little metal box he obviously wanted her to find, full of pills. He hears her move them and bellows that he has to be clear-headed when he plays Scrabble with her, but she says this is weeks worth of hoarded medicine. Clip 20.
I knew you'd understand.
How could I possibly understand something like this?
Because you know that living without dignity is not living.
This is in God's hands, Arthur. There is a natural course of events.
As long as I can think for myself, I determine them. I mean, this doesn't belong in God's hands or in yours. It belongs in mine. Look, with all your faith, would you really want any less for yourself? Huh?
She, obviously, being her, can't say no, but she doesn't say yes either. She lets him have this one and kisses his cheek next to his mouth. And there's some hand kissing back and forth. And she says goodnight. And I know we don't care about the parents in these shows, but I am here for the grandparents, actually.
Yeah, not least because they both can really act. Mm-hmm. And this is very sweet and has been set up properly and yep. with proper investment on the part of the viewer. So
agree. When Dawson gets home, Gail's waiting up and asks how the night went. Dawson admits he had a shitty time and is concerned that he's going to end up number 7 on the loser list. Gail was right about him and Gretchen, he now thinks. But Gail says she wasn't and that she's been waiting up to say so. It's time for her to let her baby boy go. Dawson frets that Gretchen just has so much life experience. We get it. She's fucked. But Gail says that's just made Gretchen the person she is today. Dawson thinks she is going to hurt him, though. Gail says that putting his heart at risk is the only way he'll ever find love again. That's when they hear a quiet knock at the door and Gail smiles, knowing who it is. Gretchen, obviously. Gail says she's going to bed. And as Dawson goes into the living room, Gail steps closer to Gretchen in a way that makes me certain she's about to apologize for having been such a bitch to Gretchen all episode. Clip 21.
Gretchen, I don't know what happened tonight, but I hope we both agree that Dawson will never be number 7 on any list.
Okay, so the opposite of an apology, I guess.
I mean, fair.
Yeah, but, you know. Gretchen tells Dawson she felt bad as soon as she got to Dex's and left. But before that, clip 22.
And the good part was that I got the uncensored new guy evaluation, and they were invariably wowed and impressed.
I think you mean unanimously.
Yep. And or indubitably, mm-hmm. This is the second place in the episode where invariably is used incorrectly. Please get a dictionary. Keep it in the writer's room. Thank you.
Dawson seems surprised that they weren't bothered by the age difference, but Gretchen says even if they had been, she's not. Dawson says he is. There are things he wants to do with her that he can't, like go to a real club or order wine with dinner, which first of all, make a dinner plan. You still haven't done that at all. But yeah, also, really. Just get a fake if it's so important for you to ask for the house white. You don't know about wine. Dawson doesn't want to be the guy who's holding Gretchen back from what she wants to do. She says she's doing exactly what she wants, being with him. And they go on, clip 23.
Earlier tonight, you said that I would never be the kind of guy who would shred your heart.
What was that word? When she said it earlier, I heard shred. I have no idea what that was. Let's hear it isolated, clip 24.
Shred.
Shred.
I think they just didn't get another take.
The horrors of trench warfare.
I know. The heartbreak of shrenchitis. I don't know. Yet another thing earlier where he was talking about where the club was, where mm-hmm. I think he said Bingham Bay,
something
which is
like that.
Not a thing. And uh-huh. I was like, did he mean Hingham Bay? So I looked that up. That's like in Boston. So not making a 1 o'clock curfew there. Yeah. And then I was like, why am I giving this more geographical thought than the writers? Let's move on.
I got one more for you.
Mm-hmm.
The Mariana Trench.
The beloved DreamWorks animated picture, Shrenge. Anyway,
Shrenge.
Clip 25.
You're right. I would never intentionally hurt you, but I can't be the nice guy that you date after a bad relationship because there's no risk involved. I need to know that I've made some sort of impression.
It's already done.
Really?
Okay.
Then strip. Yeah. Let's move. Let's go. Come on.
Well, he does ask when he gets to see Lucky, and she says, we'll see. To quote myself as a child, we'll see means no, but I guess Dawson will find that out on his own.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Do they bone?
I don't remember either. We'll find out.
Okay. Guess we'll find out.
Over to the junior Witter house where the flute is fluting and now forehead kisses are happening in the middle of car ride home conversations. To wit, Joey's saying that Drew just got freaked out because Anna liked him back. Clip 26.
Well, that kind of freaks me out too, though. Why on earth would she give him another chance? She seemed like a perfectly reasonable girl, you know? It kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah, sleeping with somebody you just met is totally reasonable.
Well, you know, maybe it's a little rash, but to be perfectly honest, two people do something that they both want to do that's completely natural. I don't exactly think that's crazy.
Unlike what we're doing?
What are you talking about?
The thing that we don't talk about, Pace. We have a problem.
Yes, we do. I mean, it used to be this little problem that we could easily ignore, but by doing that, all we really did was make it bigger, and now, unfortunately, it's so damn big, it's starting to obscure my view of you.
So basically you're saying that if I don't sleep with you soon, we're gonna break up and it's gonna be all my fault?
No. No, not at all. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that we have a problem and this is something that we need to talk about. I'm not saying in any way that it's your fault somehow that we have...
Because it's not.
It's... also, not a question of fault. Like, it's not a fault matter. It's a weird way to put it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Joey goes on to say they talked about it and he was fine waiting. Getting a little heated, Pacey agrees. He did. He's been fine waiting. He would have been scared to sleep with her too soon and potentially wreck the best relationship he's ever had. And when she does a new melted wax face, you can see in the visual aids, he says he's happy. They took the time to really fall in love with each other, but they've been together 8 months. He needs her to know that if their relationship isn't progressing to the next level, it's not because of him. Clip 27.
Pacey, I want you. I really do.
What? I need to know that.
Know it. I don't really know what's wrong, but I just keep holding back. I'm sorry, but I'm scared.
Well, good. You think I'm not scared? I'm terrified, Joe. Yeah.
So then, can we just be scared together?
Or you could just fuck. I don't know.
Yeah. Take your pants off, scream at what you see, get over it. But when she says know it in that middle of that clip, you can see in the visual aids, she can barely keep her tongue in her mouth. Like, she is convincing me that she's horny for sure. So I'll give her that.
Yeah.
The next morning, Dawson goes to Mr. Brooks's house early and lets himself in. The camera pans slowly across a glass and a pile of pills in the foreground before Dawson finds Mr. Brooks lying prone on the floor. And that's where we leave the episode. Let's close it up by naming our MVP. Harv Presnell, a king.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
100%. No one else is even close.
The hug. Episode. I mean, come on.
I know.
Dave. Oh, Dave has one.
Trench.
Thank you. Shrench.
Shrench.
I need to fix something under the sink. Can you go get me my shrench? Least valuable player. I mean, I want to say Drew because he is a shithead, but like none of this was his choice. So I'm going to say his awful mother, Mrs. Valentine.
Yeah, she's pretty bad, but I'm going to say Gretchen. Like, just fucking decide that yes. This is what you're doing, please.
That's fair. She is super annoying in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next time and again with this, Dawson has to make the right choices for Mr. Brooks's good death. Jen makes some wrong choices with a hotel minibar and her gay bestie. The show is trying to make the Drew fetch happen, still, for some reason. And Jolie and Pacey are going to make love, for obvious reasons. And if you think the phrase make love is nauseating, wait until you see the aughts Lukes in our visual aids. We do them for every episode, and you could find them and the aforementioned every episode at our website. That's again with this podcast.com. I'm Mini Golf Life Lesson Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Coffee Date Ambush Tara Ariano. She's on Blue Sky Tara Ariano. Our producer, David T. Cole, can be bought. Talk to you next time.
I can be sexual, Dawson. Goober?
Oh. Release.
Trench you, Dave!
Trench.